we now turn to our third presentation, which is from Mr. Amru Khalid Sazali, who's from Museum Pahang, very glad to say. And
good morning, everyone. Assalamu alaikum. Majesty Queen Aziza of Pahang, Malaysia. I would like to thank the organizers, Museum Pahang, the chairman, Dr. Bin Zanaji, the director, Dr. Ahmad Farid, University of Oxford, Prof. Raihan Ismail, Dr. Rowena, honorable professors, esteemed guests, my colleagues and participants of Pahang and the Sea. Thank you for having me today. So my presentation today is on Pahang in the Maritime Spice Route, Insights from Numismatics, Shipwrecks and Cartography. This is an AI-generated Pahang in the 16th century, perhaps in my imagination, where there are wooden palisaded city, where there is a palace there, and, right on the river of Pekan today. Right, before proceeding to discuss the sources of historical evidence, the numismatic cartography and shipwrecks, I will begin by discussing the term maritime spice route. And I deliberately use the term spice route because usually when we discuss along this theme, maritime trade route, we usually use maritime silk route, where it actually is a very modern term. It was introduced around the 1900s by European scholars, and there are papers that has refuted the idea of the concept of maritime silk route. And here I propose that we would rather move on to discuss this in the term maritime spice route. And this is, I think, part of decolonization efforts in order to rename or to refocus the reality and the content of discussion towards what is there actually being in pursuit of traders around the world. So people from Arabia, from Europe, from India, and also even from China, you see very interesting presentation by Jonathan just now. It shows that spice was the real main trade that is pursued in this part of the world. And how to differentiate between perhaps silk and spice, perhaps we can see silk is used as textiles. And I like how Tuanku in our last program in East Tech, Tuanku, despite being given the topic textiles in maritime silk road, Tuanku added food and spice, food and textile, because it's precisely because food and spices cannot be abandoned, cannot be ignored, cannot be separated in this discourse. So also spice is the main commodity and the core driver of the trade in Southeast Asia, and because sometimes they want to use silk road because it's a luxury, right? But we must know, we must understand that at the time, spices were also part of luxury. So this is a quote by G.R.T. Betts. I think everyone's studying Southeast Asia in the early times must have been read this. He said that the reason why Arab geographers want to write about Southeast Asia is because precisely because of spice and drugs, and they give such prominence to notice on drugs and spices and go to such lengths to explain countries of origin and methods of extracting and mining for spices and drugs, so their main preoccupation. These are three maps that draws Moluccas, the Maluku, where they were known as spice islands and where spices were found in abundance. And then he goes to say that it is to Malacca that the main Arab routes go, and beyond Malacca, the sailing direction seems only half-hearted. Mm. And in fact, the only real sailing directions beyond are for China and Java, and these are mere ghost directions, meaning they don't even really know in vivid details what are beyond Malacca. So, Southeast Asia is not merely a stopover, but also a destination. And when we discuss this in using maritime silk, spice road, it has more sense of belonging for the locals, and it re-highlights the importance of Southeast Asia compared to just a mere stopover between India to China. And then we collaboration with Negeri Rempah from Jakarta. They are using this spice route to UNESCO. And so I was just back last few months from Bonggal in Sumatra, and there are a huge archaeological site where they found these artifacts from the 7th to 10th century, century. And these are one of the earliest artifacts, Islamic artifacts, being traded from Arabia, and it's there in Sumatra. And it's very interesting because the artifacts shows as if there are industries of trying to extract these spices into medical properties. And they found cloves, nutmegs, and they use glasses, like if you know alembic, found in mostly in Andalus. And they use this deck spoon for the pharmacological tools. And it shows that perhaps it was the pursuit of science in the global world. And the Arabs came to this part of the world not only for trade, but also because the advancement of science. And these are what they have done. And we see that the Kalamdan there, and they found it this in abundance. It is like a pencil box for writing. And perhaps there was writings and advancements of knowledge in the west coast of Sumatra even at that early time. So, proceeding to the sources of historical evidence that I want to share, how Bahang is involved in the maritime spice route. First, numismatics. These are only in one private collection, whom I know from Temerloh. This is only one person's find from the Bahang River, and there are a lot more. He said there must be hundreds of thousands of Chinese copper that were found in Bahang River. This is not even in the riverbed, this is just on the riverbanks. Right, so numerous sultanate coins were also found, and along with ceramic shirts. This is our survey, a very brief survey for 3 days with an expert from a French person, from an archaeologist. So we found around 170 ceramic fragments along Sungai Pahang Tua, because I think Sungai Pahang Tua is not well studied until today. And we have some suspicion, perhaps the name Pahang Tua would indicate something because it's an old Pahang. So we tried to traverse through the rivers and we found this ceramics. And we traversed through this part of the river and we found actually there is another river here. And today it's known as Sungai Terus, but when we find it on an old map published by Admiralty Nautical Chart, 1898, there's no that part of the river. So perhaps the river must have changed route so many times from the earlier times. But even along this river, we have found a lot of interesting thing, and we ought to do more in the future. Right, so last time when Tuanku was in Pahang Museum, you asked about this flag. So, one of the way I could think of how to explain why there are so many Chinese coins in the Pahang River, because I encountered this article, Majapahit Pichis, the currency of Manila society, and he goes to write that actually Majapahit doesn't have its own currency, so they used Chinese coin. And we know in Negara Kertagama, one of the chronicle in Majapahit Empire, they labeled perhaps the whole of peninsula as Pahang. So perhaps they have quite a close connection to Pahang, even at that time, because perhaps their capital in Trawulan here, perhaps it's easier to move. If they want to cross here, they would cross the Penarikan route. Later I'll show many maps that draws Penarikan route as if it's one of the even more convenient way to avoid perhaps these so-called pirate infested areas near to Singapore. Next, a very interesting thing to note that there is a shared and a uniform metrological system, the way to measure money, measure weight in around Southeast Asia. And we noticed tahil, it's originated from a Malay word, and a lot more. And these are used throughout South China Sea. And you see these are in multipliers, 0.6 times 4 and 2.4. This is in a very uniform standard used throughout South China Sea and even to a certain extent to the Indian Ocean. And these are saga kundi, where they use 5 saga is equal to 1 kupang. 1 kupang is like this. This is 1 kupang. And these are all Malay coins. And this is Sultan Al-Ghaffar coins for information. And we still doesn't have it in our museum.
Wow.
We don't have it.
Abdul Ghaffar
is this one and this one. And for information, this is in the British Museum. this is Pahang coin, Pahang tin coin, produced by Sultanate of Pahang. And interestingly, Dr. Amal mentioned yesterday there is resemblance between the Swahili coast and the South Asia. I have received comments that actually Malay coins have much resemblance to the Swahili coins as well. So these are all these are all Pahang coins, and they are not even documented well until today. And this is in British Museum, I think just 2 or 3 years past, only they know these are from Pahang. And we can be certain that this is from Pahang because Linahan brought 3 of these. Linahan brought back 3 of these. And this is in the British Museum, I've seen it. And it's three of them is Sultan Al-Ghaffar's coin. And 2 are Sultan Muzaffar's coin. And even the Tampang follows the same multiplier or the same astrological system. Right, so the second source of historical evidence is shipwreck. I think my colleague Hamizah has discussed a bit on this. But the one thing I want to show is that even a lack of archaeological efforts has been done, but still we have found in a straight line, a beautiful straight line, a lot of shipwrecks have been found across the east coast of Peninsula Malaysia. Like Raya Nanhai is found near to Kuantan waters, and Suanda is really parallel to Pahang River. And I've received comments from UIA's Marine Science Department. They said they saw many shipwrecks in the sea, but they don't know what to do and how to utilize it. So these are nautical charts that shows there are soundings in the maps that they traverse through these Pahang waters. And shows that Pahang is part of the Maritime Spice Route. So next source of historical evidence is cartography, and we have this in our museum, recently acquired, J.W. Norrie, 18th century. It's a very, very huge map of the Indian Ocean, and it shows these points, these soundings and the rumb lines throughout the maps, and we have this as well in our museum. And what I want to show is this European, early European maps that shows the Penarikan route.
Yeah.
And it's very consistent.
Right?
And it's from Sungai Muar to Pahang. So it's really there is such routes back then. And perhaps it's even been used since the 7th century up to the 17th century. Linehan claimed that after the coming of the Dutch, then the Penarikan route is not being used anymore because the Dutch managed to get rid of the pirates in these islands. Yeah. So this one of the map, and interestingly, Pahang is consistently mentioned in so many maps, in European maps, and even after that. And this is the name is Pahang. In the 1700s, previously it was in the 1600s and the 1700s as well. And then this is one of the maps we have also in our museum. Map from Haji Ahmed, a Tunisian who drew. There you got, you see that palm. This is read as palm, pa in Persian spelling, and it's a very huge map, a heart shaped map, and Pahang is there, Kelantan is there, and you see Melaka is there, and others. This is Ibrahim Tafrika map, 18th century.
See,
there is the This is. Easily we can know that this is a copied map from the European tradition because they spell Johor as Ihor. So some of the European maps spell Johor I-H-O-R, so perhaps this is a copy, so it spells Ihor, right? Okay, this is a very interesting, perhaps from Batani map, the Jawi map. Among the few Jawi map we have that I've seen everywhere, I only know 3 Jawi map. Berak one, and this is the second one, and the 1950 map by Abbas Nasution. And there is Pahang over there. If you see, I cannot see from here. There is Terengganu here, there's a Kelantan here, Bukit Puteri, Terengganu. Selat Singapura here.
Odd shape.
Right, odd shape. Yeah, because they want to emphasize Patani here, because it has like a big harbor. This is Tasik Patani. Yeah, very odd map, but it's very interesting because what they want to highlight. So this shows there is a story behind the cartography. Right, so Tioman is also very consistently mentioned by many cartographers. This is Pulau Tioman. This is a Bugis map from it's now in Utrecht, Netherlands, 1820. It is drawn on a vellum, and there is five copies of this map, and it shows Tayama there. So I've been asking a friend whether this is Pahang or not, but he didn't answer yet. He said he needs time. Perhaps if you ask Papandaya, he might be able to read this. Right. This is Maukun map, the map in the time of Zhengke's expedition. There is Jumashan, where it is Tioman, and Peng Hang Gang. Jonathan need to correct me if I'm wrong. And then this Pahang Harbour there, 1621. This is a very, very interesting map that I hope I can see it when I'm in Oxford. This is a very quite recently acquired map in the Bodleian Libraries in 2001. And this is Tioma here, Benuma or Tioma. The problem is with Arabic writing is because sometimes the dots is everywhere. So when they copy, it becomes Betuma, Benuma. And we know this is Tioma because Arab geographers from the 9th century, 8th century, they have known Tioma because of its importance in terms of stopover before arriving in China. The question that you can ask is whether Pahang and Tioman is it actually seen as important as a political entity, or is it a geographical region that they wanted to pinpoint? So this is a very, very interesting study by Leong Sao-Heng. She classified this, her study is focusing on pre-1400s, and she said from during late Middle Age, because these are all the sites that have been excavated archaeologically. So she classified into anthropods, collection centers, and feeder points. My colleagues Hamiza also mentioned a bit yesterday. And none of these classification has Pahang among these. It doesn't have the labels of whether it can be considered as entry ports, collection centers, or feeder points. That is exactly because I think lack of archaeological excavation is being done in Pahang River and even Johor River. So these are the drum delay because they found a lot of bronze artifacts, and even they found the Dongson culture. In Tembeling, we also found a Dongson drum. But because perhaps it is not really properly documented, or it's found in isolation, so it doesn't. She doesn't consider that as a part of collection center or feeder point. So my point is that until archaeological excavation is being done, then we can substantiate our claim. So conclusion is drawing from numismatic shipwreck cartography evidence, the study reassesses Pahang as an active participant in maritime spice rope, and these are among a few possible material sources. To substantiate the Pahang was an active maritime node in the wider maritime trade route, and many works need to be done, especially archaeology, I think, to properly substantiate the claims and evidence on Pahang maritime history. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Amru, and really fascinating paper. I think you just see from the reaction of the audience that, you know, it's really, really wonderful for you to share some knowledge of those finds. Really, really interesting. And again, I think emphasising the importance of the hand, you know, not its marginality.